So there's a second database now, just for balances.
There is, and I want to start with why. Because the why is a bad afternoon rather than a design meeting.
Go on.
A balance is wrong, not dramatically. It's off by a bit on one token for one address, and it has been off for a long time.
Fine, fix it.
That's the whole story. There's no way to fix it.
You can't write a number into a column.
I can write any number I like into that column. What I can't do is work out which number is right.
Why not add up the transfers?
Which transfers? The ones we recorded. If the reason it's wrong is that we missed something, adding up the things we didn't miss produces the same wrong answer, very confidently. That's the shape of it. That number is a running total. It's been added to for 4 years. Nobody has ever recomputed it, and nobody can, because the only thing we kept was the total.
We kept the answer and threw away the working.
We kept the answer and threw away the working. And the answer is the thing that's wrong.
All right, so keep a history. Save the balance every night, and then at least you can see when it went off.
I thought that too, and it took me an embarrassingly long time to see the problem with it.
Which is?
You'd be writing down the same number you can't verify, once a day, forever. Now you have 4 years of a number that might be wrong, and no more ability to check it than you had before.
You'd know when it changed.
You'd know when it changed. You would not know what it should have been at any point, including now. You've archived the symptom.
Okay, that's fair, and I'd have built it.
Everyone would have built it. It's the obvious thing, and it's a trap.
So what do you keep instead?
Every movement. Not the total, each individual change, with the block it came from kept forever.
That's a lot of rows.
It is an enormous number of rows, and that's the price of the whole idea. But once you have them, the total isn't something you store anymore. It's something you can work out.
Anytime you want.
Anytime you want, for any address, at any point in history, from the actual movements. And that's a completely different relationship with the number.
Because if it's wrong, you can find out where.
Because if it's wrong, you can find out where. You've still got the working.
So the new database is just a very long list of changes.
It's a list of changes and then four things folded out of it. What the balance was each minute, each hour, each day, and what it is right now.
Why all four? Isn't the day one just the minute one less often?
It is, and you get the same answer either way. The difference is what it costs to ask. If you want a 5-year chart and you only kept minutes, you're adding up 2.5 million of them per line.
So you pre-fold them.
You fold them once when the data arrives, and every question after that is cheap. The day rows are also frozen. A day that's over never changes again, so it can be written once and never touched.
And the minute and hour ones move.
They move because the current minute isn't finished.
Right, so that's the database. Where does it get the movements from?
The same queue everything else reads. It's another consumer.
Not from the balances table we already have.
Never, not once. There's a line in the architecture that I like a great deal, which is that nothing in this package reads a PostgreSQL SQL balance.
On purpose.
Entirely on purpose. If it read the old number, it would inherit the old number's problems, and the entire point is to have a second opinion built from the source.
Okay, now I want to poke at something. You've built a machine that derives the balance from the facts. What happens when the deriving is wrong?
That's the right question, and it's the part I'd want you to take away.
Because you'll have the same problem again. Wrong number, 4 years deep.
You would, if you fixed it the way we normally fix things.
Which is what? Patch the code and run a migration over the bad rows.
Which is what we would have done. And it's how you get a table where some rows were written by the old logic and some by the new. And nobody can tell you which is which.
So what do you do instead?
You build the whole thing again, from block zero, into a completely separate copy.
The whole chain's history.
The whole chain's history into what's called a generation. Its own tables, its own facts, its own folds, its own bookkeeping. And while that's being built, the one in service carries on being read and written exactly as before.
And then you switch.
The chain names which generation its balances live in. You point it at the new one.
That is a very expensive way to fix a bug.
It's an extremely expensive way to fix a bug, and it's cheaper than the alternative, which is not being able to fix it at all. That's the trade the whole thing is built on.
How long does building one take?
It's a fleet. One job, many machines, each one working out which slice of history is its own from its position in the fleet. Nothing in the program knows how it was launched.
And you can compare the two.
Now you've found the thing I actually wanted to show you.
Compare them how? Row by row.
Byte for byte. And that only works because of a decision that looks like nothing when you read it.
Which decision?
There are no invented identifiers anywhere in it. Nothing gets a generated ID. Every row is keyed by what the chain itself already named. The chain, the address, the asset.
Why does that matter?
Because a generated ID is assigned in the order rows arrive. Build the same history twice, and the same movement gets a different number each time. Now your two copies disagree on every row, and comparing them means joining through side tables to work out which row is which.
Whereas if the key is the address and the asset.
The same movement is the same row in both, and you can diff them like text files. Two independent builds of the same 4 years either match exactly or they don't, and if they don't, that's your bug.
That's the payoff.
That's the payoff. Everything else, the folds, the fleet, the generations, is in service of being able to build it twice and check.
Where does the history actually come from? The queue doesn't go back 4 years.
It doesn't. Old blocks come out of the archive, and there's a separate finite job that walks it. It runs from the beginning, and it stops where the archive coverage runs out.
And then the live one takes over.
The live one starts exactly where the finite one stopped. The finite job writes down the block it ended on, and the live stage looks that up and carries on from there.
So history isn't a special mode, it's just the earlier part.
History is extended by exporting one more range. There's no bridging job and no seam to maintain.
All right, last thing. Is anybody using it?
Define using.
Is the website reading any of this?
No.
Not at all.
Not one query. It's running on two chains. It has the facts. It has the folds. It has the present balance. And nothing that a person can load in a browser reads a single row of it.
So it's finished and idle.
It's running and unread, which is the third time I've seen this shape in this codebase, and I've stopped treating it as an accident. The store gets built and proven while it's cheap to be wrong about, and it gets connected later.
Give me the whole thing.
A number that's wrong and can't be recomputed because we stored the answer and not the working. So, keep every movement forever, fold them into what each minute, hour, and day looked like. Key it all by what the chain already named so two builds can be compared byte for byte. And when the logic is wrong, rebuild the whole history into a fresh copy rather than patching the old one. Old blocks from the archive, new blocks from the queue, meeting at a cursor. Two chains so far and nobody reading it yet.